As many as could that you'd kneel with me in a word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this night, it is with joy in our hearts for this opportunity that we have to come and meet with Thee and with Thy people, Lord. We would thank Thee for this land of freedom that we are privileged to live in, Father. We can come and worship Thee. We ask, Lord, for the speaker this night that Thy Spirit would be poured out upon him, that he might be strengthened, oh Lord, that thy words might flow from his mouth, and that we might be touched by that message. Lord, that wherein we need to be stirred, that our hearts might be stirred for those things that are good. We ask that you might be with our loved ones that are sick and afflicted and are not able to make it here with us this night, especially for our brother Harold Pollock and our brother Housenick, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you'd continue to be with each of the apostles in their needs, especially those that have great physical needs. We pray for our loved ones that are in the missionary field. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless their work, that you'd keep them safe as they travel. Lord, we ask that you'd strengthen them, and that you might work with them, that they could touch the souls of men. We ask now, and we invite thy presence here with us, asking that you might touch our hearts. Help us to keep thee always in our hearts first. Help us, Lord, that we might walk with more charity and more love for thy children. I ask now that you would be with us. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.
We're now going to have a special.
Pleasure to hear that song that we just heard. It brought many memories to my mind. As Joel asked, I would ask that you might petition the Lord in my behalf this evening, that I'd be able to deliver the message that's upon my heart. Because I know myself as a man is inadequate to to perform the things that the Lord would have us to do. In singing the song that was just sang, I couldn't help but think of the years of service that Grandma has put in to the gospel. As well as the influence that she and other people have had on my life down through time. As I sat there and watched, excuse me for my emotions, I remembered the testimonies that she's given to me without ever speaking a word. She used to come to my house every year when they had the trail ride. I look forward to that. And not me realizing it, but even way back then, she was being an influence in my life. So there's something to be said for being a steadfast, humble individual that does what they do because they want to do it, not because someone else wants them to do it. I found in preparing this evening much difficulty. Because of the weakness of this individual, I'd like to begin in Mosiah, in the first chapter, oftentimes I find myself turning to Mosiah. I don't have too many scriptures to bring to you this evening, and I hope I can bring the thoughts that are upon my heart though, because I'd like to talk about pride a little bit. I'd like to talk about humility a little bit. The first chapter of Mosiah, the 118th verse, and many of you have heard me read this very verse from this very spot before. It says, "But men drink damnation to their own soul, except they humble themselves and become as a little child." Of course, this has brought on some new meaning to me, seeing my own child in his innocence, even perhaps doing something he might almost know is wrong, but in his sweetness and in his innocence, it makes me realize all the more so the distance I need to go if I'm ever to become as a little child, submissive before the Lord. I'd like to continue on and believe that salvation was and is to come and in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he will yield himself to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man and become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. You know, if I pick my little child up and I tell him no, maybe smack his hand if he's getting into something, he submits to me, he does. Of course, I'm a lot bigger than he is too, you know. But he submits to me because he's already learning. Just at a year old, he's already learning that I'm the dad and he's the son, you know. But some of us at 30, 40, 50 years old are yet learning that we're the child and that God the Father is the Father. And we have a need to submit to Him. We have a need to put off the pride. Our brother Joel made a comment this morning that he was preaching to himself as much as anybody else. And I've made the same, and I do again this evening. So I'd like to approach this in two ways, though. One on a personal basis and one on a collective basis. One as a body of Christ, the Church of Christ. What does the world see of us? Do they see anything different than everybody else? I'd like to relate a little incident that happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was going to bear a testimony on Wednesday night, but I didn't. And it is a testimony to me. And I think it was a testimony of pride. Where I work, we face a lot of danger. I mean, the company tries and minimize the danger as much as possible, but it's a dangerous type job. And 3 weeks ago, I was doing something that wasn't dangerous at all, but I cut my arm. Pretty good cut on my arm. And my superintendent told me, well, I think you ought to go have it stitched up. So I did, you know, and didn't feel no pain. I'm pretty tough. I can handle it, you know. And this is what I'm thinking to myself. Didn't hurt too much. And this employee takes me to the urgent care place, and I fill out the paperwork and stuff, and I'm fine. And I went in there, and the doctor starts cleaning it up and stuff, and I told him, it doesn't hurt much, you know, no problem. He starts shooting that thing full of Novocaine. I get sicker than a dog, sick to my stomach. And there's no doubt about it. It was from one reason. That's because I was watching him shoot the Novocaine in there. And it wasn't the wound that hurt me, but just something that perhaps, it wasn't the pain either, you know, it was the thought. And I was sick for 2 or 3 hours. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even go back to work that day. I went to the next day. And I thought of that later, you know, because I never really had any problem with that before. And I thought of that later, and I felt like that was a lesson to me. That you're only as strong or as tough or as durable as the Lord makes you. You know. And I pray on the way to work every morning that the Lord watch out over me, you know, and give me the strength. Because I see a lot of guys at work get sick because of the heat. And they get sick and they can't work no more. And so they lay them off. And so I asked the Lord to give me enough strength to make it through the day and that I'd be able to do my job and I'd be able to continue to support my family. And I realized daily when I dragged myself to the car after work that's what the Lord's done. He's given me enough strength and I've been endeavoring to kind of give Him the glory, you know, and not proclaim how tough I am or how strong I am, because I know I'm not. I see these guys I know are a lot stronger than I am, can't make it. And I know then that it's just because of one reason. That's because the Lord blesses us. But I was thankful for that little experience I had of cutting my arm and finding out I wasn't near as tough as I thought I was. And I think that's very important. And I read this scripture because it's really at the root of our problem. The natural man that lives inside this guy, the natural person that lives inside Jenny or Trish or anybody out there that's listening to me right now, he or she is going to promote yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you look in the world to people that don't know the gospel and don't
believe in the gospel or perhaps even in God or anything. Pride is there. A lot of things are there, but that's the natural order of man. And we are told here and other places that the natural man is an enemy to God. I like to look at it, like I said, as a collective basis. I think we can be prideful as a church, as a group of people. I hope not. And of course, myself, I'm just one more contributing factor to that pride factor. So I'd ask that each one of us might look at ourselves, look around you. I'm not asking you to judge anybody else, but if you were an individual who just walked in off the street, how would you look at us? What would you see, you know? Hopefully you'd see a humble group of followers of the Lord, but I don't know. What would you see in our church building? That hopefully we'd see a humble little church. And these are the type of things I want to talk about this evening. I'd like to turn over to 3 Nephi in the 6th chapter. I know from time to time that the Lord can humble us, you know. He gives us afflictions. He gives us burdens that we might be humble. But sometimes I find in my own life, perhaps after that burden is lifted or after that affliction is passed, I'm really no more humble than I was before it came along, you know. Sure, during that time, maybe I've reached out unto the Lord in true humility to relieve this burden from me. And maybe He does, you know, He does. He has in the past. But then I just fall right back in my own ways. And we know of a scripture in Book of Mormon that says that, you know, better off to humble yourself than compel to be humble is the just of the thing. And this is what I'm looking at tonight, because our brother Joel this morning talked about ways we can inhabit the Lord, you know, ways that we limit Him working with us. And pride is definitely one of those ways. If we're a prideful type people or person, it's hard for the Lord to work with us because we're not going to listen to Him. If you encounter a prideful person, they know everything a lot of times, or they're very sure of themselves, and they're not willing to really listen, and especially on the degree that the Lord expects of us is to be humble. I'll continue talking, but I'd like to read this scripture. In the 25th verse, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who enter therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." This in itself would tell us that it's going to be an effort, a diligent effort on our part, if we're going to find it. And it's not, this is just one aspect. Pride is just one aspect of entering in the gate. But it is definitely a large aspect, because we find people who have fallen away in times gone by. Pride is one of the largest factors in that. I think I'd like to continue reading here. "Yea, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inward are ravaging wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit ye shall know them." And again, on a collective basis, "by our fruits ye shall know them." Now this is something that's really to my shame. It just goes to show you how you can, you just got to be on your toes all the time. A week or so ago, I was at work as I usually am during the day, and most of the men I work with use a phenomenal amount of profanity, just terrible. There's a couple of them that don't, and I try and stay as close to them as I can. But Anna, they were talking, and I try not to do too much talking. And I try not to do too much listening, for that matter, but I try not to do too much talking. And they were talking, and just for a split second, I thought, you know, that doesn't bother me. How come this isn't bothering me? All this profanity just flying through the air, and for just a moment, and I realized in the same instance, you know, this isn't good, you know. That's just one more step. The old devil's trying to just soften you up, soften your armor a little bit to try and to penetrate your armor there, you know. That you know, oh, it's really not that bad, or, you know, it's hard to communicate with these guys without using profanity. Like I said, I try not to say too much. I don't have to communicate with them too much. And most of these guys, I don't want you to get the wrong feeling. I judge them or anything. I really have a like for most of the guys I work with right now. Okay, they don't believe the way I believe. They don't live the way I live. But hopefully they see something in my life. And this is what we're talking about right here, you know. By their fruits ye shall know them. And I have a difficult time in my work, and I'm sure many of you do. You work in a place where they expect you to work, not do a lot of talking, and you don't really have a chance to visit with people about the gospel or about your beliefs, so all they see is you, you know, how you act and react to people. And hopefully they can see something in you that's good fruits. Again, collectively, as a body, I would hope that if someone off the street seen us somewhere, maybe we were at a park or at a river or wherever, a young people's outing in a church building, in a churchyard, that they would be able to see something good there, and they'd be able to see a wholesome type atmosphere there. And it's definitely something for us to think about. I think I'd like to continue reading a few more verses, maybe through the end of the chapter, starting with the 33rd there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall I liken unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And of course, the tree that bringeth forth good fruit in the house is our spiritual man, our spiritual person. And are we building that spiritual person upon a rock? Are we a tree that bring forth good fruit? She can't be one of both. And I see these type individuals myself in the world that perhaps proclaim openly to be Christian, but at the same time they're not necessarily bringing forth good fruit. And so we need to be careful that we're not hypocritical of our own selves, that we proclaim one thing and do another. What I'm asking you to do this evening is basically examine yourself, examine your role in this body of Christ, your role in this body of the local Church of Christ, Phoenix, Arizona. And what is your contributing factor? What is your contributing part? Is it of a prideful person? Is it of a tree that brings forth corrupt fruit? Or is it of a humble person that bringeth forth good fruit? And as each one of us become that individual, then that's what the body is. In Romans, in the 8th chapter, in the 4th verse, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that walk after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But to be carnally minded is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Again, it's on an individual basis, your own decision. And as I think of this, you know, I think of my work, the people I associate with. It's like night and day. The people I associate with here and endeavor to associate with, and the people I am forced or choose to work with, you can see where this scripture is fulfilled. To be carnally minded is sadness. It's things of the flesh, and no more depth to the individual than just physical things. And to be spiritually minded is just that. Have some spiritual depth to you. I'd like to maybe turn over to 2 Nephi in the 6th chapter. It's another quick scripture about carnally minded. And you know, it's hard for anybody else to look at you, people can look at me and say, boy, he sure is prideful and he has a lot of pride in his heart, but really the only person can do that is the person themselves, you know. And I can look at a lot of people and think they're real prideful, but I can't say, because you know, you really don't know. They might be very humble inside, but as well as you need to show humility, not just feel it. I mean, I can look at myself and say, gee, I'm sure a humble old guy, you know, but that's not how everybody else sees me, so what am I really, you know? The 74th verse says, remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Oh, my beloved brother, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you. This morning in my Sunday school class, we talked a little bit about the greatness of God and basically come to the decision and the agreement that we can't comprehend the greatness of God. We can't comprehend all the aspects of God, or perhaps even everything that he expects of us. But this is one thing that I think is made very plain in the scriptures concerning pride and concerning the vain things of this life. There's a scripture that says, prefer your brother, you know, and love one another. And there's several scriptures like that. And this evening, that's in conjunction with pride. That's one thing I want to talk about. And it's a little bit difficult for me, maybe not for any of you, We, all of us in this room, are wealthy people of the temporal things of life. Physically wealthy. We might not be wealthy according to the people on Camelback Mountain. Okay? They probably think we're poor. But according to the bulk of the people in the world today, we're very wealthy. And we have plenty to eat. Most of us have more clothes than we know what to do with. More clothes than will fit in our closet. Can't make up our mind what to wear in the morning. We got so many clothes. Can't make a decision on which pair of shoes you're going to wear. But the bulk of the people in the world, and quite a few people in this United States, don't have those problems because they're not near as wealthy as we are. And of course, I contribute my wealth to the blessing of God that I was born into, the family I was born into, and I was raised and I got a job and a house and all that. I contribute that to the Lord. But with that, I feel a responsibility. I feel responsibility that perhaps I haven't fulfilled. I feel responsibility for each one in this room that perhaps you haven't fulfilled either. Maybe you have, and I just don't know it. A certain man came to Christ and says, "What do I have to do to follow you?" And he told him several things. And he said, I've done all these things from my youth. And he said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And the man couldn't do it because he had a lot of stuff. I'm not telling anybody sell everything they have and give it to the poor. He said, well, you'll be the poor. And the poor is always going to be with us. I read that scripture today as well in my studying, that the poor is always going to be with us. But I do find sometimes difficulty in my own mind, in my own justifying the things that I have and the way I live, knowing that perhaps some of my brethren in the gospel of Christ are lacking greatly. And perhaps not in this country, but in Mexico in particular. Perhaps some in this country. And so I'd ask that we might consider give a lot of thought to what we do with our money. Now, I know this is a physical thing. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be talking about spiritual things. But I think it has a direct effect on our spiritual selves, because I know throughout the Book of Mormon, the more that people had, the more pride they had. The less that people have, the more humble they seem to be. It just seems to kind of work that way. Not 100% of the time, but it just seems to kind of work that way. And the more things we obtain in this life, we can't take any of them with us. We all realize that. But the more things we obtain in this life takes up more of our time. You know, if I got two cars, I have to wash two cars. I have to paint two houses if I got two houses. And you know what I'm talking about. And I just ask that we would really give a lot of thought to really how humble are we, how sincere are we in the pride and the vanity of our own lives, not considering our fellow man. I'd like to read a scripture. And by no means do I think it applies to us 100%. And it was spoken to another group of people at another time. But I'd like to read it. And it's in the Book of Mormon, in Mormon. And I thought Joel was going to read it this morning. But he didn't. It's found in the 4th chapter. In the 47th verse, and it says, "Behold, Jesus Christ shone unto me, and I know your doings." He's talking to us in this day and age. Okay, he spoke it, he wrote it at a different time. and perhaps spoke it to the people that was there. I don't know. But he was talking about the last days. And he's talking about the Gentiles. And I know your doings, and I know that ye have walked in the pride of your heart. Now, who's he talking to? He could be talking to the people around us, but the people around us aren't reading his words. And he's seen us. Maybe not us, maybe our ancestors, maybe the people, our children ahead of us, but he's seen us, our time. And where are ye now, save it, in the pride of your hearts? And there are none, save it a few, who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts unto the wearing of fine apparel and envying and strife and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquity. Like I said, I don't believe for a second this applies to us in total. And your churches, yea, every one of them have been, and he says every one, okay, and so what degree or another, I don't know, but every one of them have become polluted because of the pride of your heart. And behold, you do love money and your substance and your fine apparel and adorning of your churches more than you love the poor and the needy and the sick and the afflicted. O ye polluters, ye hypocrites, ye teachers, who sells themselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? Why do you think that the greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the price of this world? Like I said, this for a second, I don't think this applies to all of us or any of us 100%. But I do think it applies, because I know I spend a lot of money. I go to the park and swap, and I see this and I see that, and I think, man, it'd be nice to have this fishing pole, and it'd be nice. I have two or three fishing poles at home already, you know. And I see maybe a backpack or the first one thing or another. It doesn't make any difference, you know. Or maybe go to the clothing store. I don't, but I know some people do. They go to the clothing store and buy clothes. We need clothes. But I think we understand what I'm saying. And we spend money. We spend money as a body. And I'd ask that you'd take a true, humble look at how we spend our money, personally, collectively, and the condition of our fellow man, in comparison to the condition of our fellow man, individually in our lives. You know, I don't run into too many people that are without money. I see a bum now and then wandering down the road, you know, but not too many. No one comes and knocks on my door, asks me for money. I've been to Mexico a few times, and I've seen the conditions that our people, our brothers and sisters, live in there. And most of them think it's a pretty good life. They might have a dirt floor, but they think it's a pretty good life. And I'm not going to tell them otherwise, okay, because they're happy. They enjoy themselves. They have a humble existence before God. And their reward will be ever be as much as mine before God. But I can help them in food and in clothing and medical expenses and that kind of thing. I'd like to read another scripture too. I read this scripture in Romans in 2 Timothy. I think it's very important that we judge our humility, not necessarily myself to Joel, you know. I'm more humble than Joel. Well, I don't think I am, but that's not the way that I should do it. You know, I should judge it according to what the Scripture says, according to those in the world that have not. Am I fulfilling my obligation to my fellow man? And if not, is pride the reason why not? 2 Timothy in the second chapter, the third verse, third and fourth verse. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth engages himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." We all have heard this scripture many times, but I indeed think it's valuable. It's valuable to what I'm talking about. The fact that the more we engage ourselves in the world, the more temporal things we collect, the more money that we make, you know. My goal at my work is to make the most money I can, you know. Justly, honestly, but I want to make the best wage I can possibly make. And I think that's everybody's desire. And I want to support my family in a good way. You know, I want them to have clothes and I want them to have food on the table. But I also want to be very careful that my family has the things they need. But any excess I have, that I can share it with those around me. And I can help other people that aren't as fortunate as I am. But if I engage myself in the world, if I engage myself in lots of debt, that's the affairs of this life. And you become a slave to it. Perhaps put us kind of all on equal ground. Everybody in the world, Mosiah in the second chapter, says something that I've thought of many times. And I hope to think of it many times in the future whenever I perhaps doesn't have anything to think about, or when I'm thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about, or thinking about gaining things I don't really need. And this is a problem for me. I'm sure it's a problem for everybody, because, like I said, we're wealthy in this land. Our society is leaning in that direction, that you have the things you want. And we need to understand what is necessity and what is want. And that we support the church, and that we support our fellow man, if that's what it takes, you know. I make more money in a day than some of our brothers and sisters make in a year in Mexico. And yet they have to eat the same amount of food I do to stay alive. They have to have the clothes I have to have to wear. And so it's something to consider. The second chapter, Mosiah, in the 32nd verse, it says, "For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, both for both food and raiment, for gold and silver, and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind?" You know, it doesn't make any difference if you speak Maya, or you speak Spanish, or you speak Indian in India. We all are going to have to depend, and do depend, whether we realize it or not, upon the same being to give us our breath of life and to give us the things we have. So I can't really say that the things I have are mine. They were lent to me by God the Father. They were given in my care that I might do something with them for His benefit and for His glory. I might bring forth the fruit that He'd have us to bring forth for His glory and for my own benefit, you know. It's to your benefit if you help someone else out, you know. Even if you have to sacrifice, boy, I'd sure like to have a new fishing rod or a new rifle. But I can sacrifice that so someone else could go to the doctor. Or I could sacrifice that for someone else could have a new roof on their house. Or, you know, anything that is a need in life, that's to your benefit. Even though it's a sacrifice, it's to your benefit. On a spiritual terms, it's to your benefit. I think that I would like to close now. And I hope that my message has reached you. I hope that I've done any kind of job at all in conveying that pride and vanity can creep into this Church of Christ just as easy as it can creep into any other church. And creep into my heart and into your heart just as easy as anybody else's. And just because I'm a baptized member of the Church of Christ or a minister of the Church of Christ doesn't make any difference. I can be just as prideful as the next guy. And so I definitely ask that you might pray for one another, that we can become a unified, humble body of followers of Jesus Christ, and that we might carefully examine what we do with the things that the Lord has given us, that we might do it in a way that wouldn't build pride, but it would build humility and help our fellow man. Thank you. Would you please stand? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time we have been able to spend, Father, for the message that was given to us. We ask, Lord, that we might have strength to be humble, that You might help us, Lord, that we might walk in that path that would lead unto life. Though it be straight and narrow, Lord, we need Thy strength, for of our own selves we are weak, yet we depend upon Thee for all that we have and are. And we ask Thy strength throughout our lives, that we might accomplish Thy purposes within us. We ask that You might continue now to bless our loved ones, the many that we have brought before Thee, Father, and before Thy throne, that You'd see to their needs, those that are sick and afflicted, that You'd lift them up. And we thank Thee, Father, for those that are in our midst this night, that You have lifted up of their afflictions. And we shall forever, Father, remember these things. We ask now that You'd go with us throughout this week. Help us, Lord, that we could come closer to Thee. And we ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.